Again, I have the honor and the pleasure to introduce one of the finest gentlemen that I have ever met in my lifetime, a great, great Christian gentleman, a great broadcaster, a man that does a lot of research, a man that I have tremendous confidence in. His name is Tom Joyner. And everywhere I go, I have people come up to me and say how much they enjoy his radio commentary here on WTSB. Tom Joyner, I consider you to be a gift of God to this radio station. Everything you say is certainly well-researched, and we respect you as a journalist, as a broadcaster, and just as a great North Carolinian. You are undoubtedly one of the finest broadcasters in the United States of America.
Carl, I appreciate your kind words. I posted this on Facebook this morning. You stand there with head bowed, a prayer in your heart and a tear trickling from your eye. You've been there before, and you notice that after 64 years, you still see oil oozing from below the water. There's a deathly silence in the observation room. Below you lies the USS Arizona and the crew that manned its battle stations. Slowly, the visitors turn in silence and walk away. And with a brief pause, you turn to follow. The evidence of what happened on December 7, 1941 fades behind you. But the memory of the heroes below will remain in your heart forever. Pearl Harbor, a time to remember. First, today, I hope you'll consider getting a copy of my book, Tom Joyner in Black and White, from WTSB. It makes a great Christmas gift, and all monies go to our wounded warriors. In this book, you'll read about rags to riches and what it took to get there. There's a limited number left, a very small number. So call or stop by WTSB today. Now, if you're offended by truth, if you are welded to a political party regardless of facts, then you will not enjoy today's commentary. Let's start with the basics. The Quran is the Bible of Islam. The Quran is filled with demands for followers of Islam to kill those who will not bow to Allah. Muslims are also admonished to keep infidels, the non-believers, from having any weapons. Keep them unarmed, even as it calls for terrorist attacks, fear, and death to those who will not bow to Islam. We have a consistent call from Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Democrat Party leaders for gun control. If they could disarm all Christians and Jews, they would do so in a New York minute. Meanwhile, Obama and leading Democrats tell us that climate change is the cause of terrorism. If so, why are Jews and Christians not subject to that same climate change? Why are Jews and Christians not causing mass shootings of Muslims? If terrorism is caused by climate change, why is everybody not affected? Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Democrat leaders tell us that mass shootings don't occur in other countries. Obama said that again in Paris, standing near the rubble of a mass shooting. Another attack happened in Cairo, Egypt, last Thursday. These mass shootings and bombings occur very often in foreign countries. Palestinians in the West Bank are prevented from owning guns, but that only prompts them to use knives to attack innocent Jews. With no guns, they find other ways to kill. And the same will be followed in America if we are to ban guns. Now, it's true that a gun ban has not yet been proposed, but once the public is conditioned to even stricter gun laws, a total ban call will follow. And that takes us back to the Islamic Quran's call for Muslims to keep non-believers from having weapons. Anyone else see a connection? We turn now to the mass shootings last Wednesday in San Bernardino, California. It follows an all-too-familiar pattern. The shooters were dedicated followers of Islam. Syed Farooq and his wife, Tashin Malik, who was here on a Pakistani passport, which she obtained by giving a false address, barged into the health center wearing ski masks and military vests and fired 60 to 75 bullets at unarmed people who were attending a Christmas party. 14 people died, 21 others were wounded, 2 of them are in critical condition. As commanded by the Quran, all of the non-believers there were without weapons. The shooters were tracked and killed. In their car, police found a device that could be used to detonate firebombs that they had left among their victims, pipe bombs. Apparently, the device failed. Police also found a bomb factory with 12 pipe bombs already assembled at the home of these two Muslims, plus thousands of rounds of ammunition and other military-style gear that could be used in further attacks. In the car they were driving, police found thousands of rounds of ammunition and pipe bombs that could be used in those further attacks. It is obvious that these two militant Muslims planned to attack other innocent people. It is also obvious that they had been planning these attacks for a long time. This was not a spur-of-the-moment incident of workplace violence. The father of Syed Farooq says that he was a devoted Muslim, and that made a gathering of Christians at work wide-open targets. We know now that the mother of Syed Farooq was a follower of militant Muslim leaders. We also know that Syed Farooq's grandmother lived with them in a relatively small house. It stretches credibility for her or Farooq's kin, who visited the house often, not to notice the bomb factory they had built, nor the thousands of rounds of ammunition stored at the house. Outsiders now say that Farooq showed signs of radicalization, a hatred of Jews and other non-believers. But the family never saw it? We have been warned by ISIS and Al-Qaeda that their agents are here among us. Think about the deep hate of radicalized Islam. A mother who would leave a 6-month-old child to go on jihad against innocent people. The FBI has 900 open inquiries ongoing concerning radical Muslims, and they are reported to be in all 50 states. ISIS has called for these sleeper cells to launch attacks like the one in San Bernardino last week. Radical imams in mosques across the world and right here in America are preaching hate and radicalizing Muslims for jihad against America. Muslim schools right here in America are indoctrinating young, impressionable minds that guarantee another generation of jihadists, and we continue to allow it. Would the government allow Christian ministers or Jewish rabbis to preach hate and advocate violence in their churches and temples? With the exception of Louis Farrakhan, Al Sharpton, and a few other groups like Black Lives Matter, there is no way it would be tolerated. But still, these radical Muslim voices preach their radicalization and hate every day. Muslims pray 5 times a day to a God, Allah, who keeps them in his fold by threatening to have them killed if they don't bow to him or if they try to leave the faith. How can a Muslim claim to be a moderate while following a faith that repeatedly calls for violence and death to anyone who believes differently from Islam? I'm serious here. I'd invite any Muslim to explain to me why we should believe Muslims who tell us they are peaceful when they are taught to deceive the kuffar, that's non-Muslims, about their true beliefs in order to defend the cause of Islam and jihad. The deception is called kakia. Muslims will attempt to disassociate Islam from terrorist acts in order to win sympathy and public opinion, especially in countries where they are outnumbered by non-Muslims. They will say that such an act does not represent the true Islam, when in fact it does. Over 60% of the Islamic Bible, the Quran, contains verses about killing non-believers, or forcing them to live under servitude, or pay a heavy tax known as jizya. Non-believers must defer to Muslims in all matters. Islamic Sharia law requires all Muslims to pay a charity tithe called a zakat. A portion of zakat is required to be used to fund jihadists, such as Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Taliban. If they truly oppose terrorism, they should refuse to pay the zakat tax right here in this country. Since 9/11, Muslims have committed over 23,000 acts of terror. 90% of all terrorist acts are committed by Muslims. Does our Christian God command us to kill Muslims in His name, all who are not Christians? We're not talking about one or two passages in the Islamic Bible that call for violence and killing. It is chock full of hate speech and calls for death to non-believers. That's a fact, not political spin. Now, California has some of the toughest gun laws in the country. And yet, the first response from Obama, Clinton, and the Democrat leadership called for more gun laws. Barbara Boxer, a far-left liberal Democrat senator from California, just said that California's tough gun laws show that those laws work. This, she said, after the San Bernardino shootings. The woman is either delusional or suffering from dementia. One of the greatest reasons that enemy nations have not already waged war here is that hundreds of millions of Americans are armed and willing to protect their country. Take away that ability, agitate to keep our people divided, and you have a recipe for the destruction of America from within. How far has America fallen? I want you to focus on what I'm saying. Democrat Party liberals actually booed God more than once at their last convention. Last week, the liberal New York Post castigated Christians with a headline and story suggesting that God is not our answer. Meanwhile, Islam teaches that Allah is the answer. Obama has castigated conservatives for clinging to their religion and their guns. But neither Obama nor the New York Post has spoken out about Islamic terrorists who cling to their guns and swords, and neither one has ever acknowledged the devotion of Muslims to Islam and its call for violence. These radical extremists cling to their religion more than any other faith on earth. Syed Farouk had journeyed to Saudi Arabia in the summer of 1994 and to Pakistan. He met with a woman he had discovered on the internet. Her name was Tashin Malik. She was from Pakistan and visited Mecca with him, spending 9 days in Saudi Arabia. Now, we have to acknowledge that Saudi Arabia is not a true ally of the United States. The Saudis use their oil riches to play both ends against the middle. They follow the most radical branch of Islam, Wahhabism, which allows no freedom for women, nor Christians or Jews. Syed Farouk brought his girlfriend back to the United States using a Pakistani passport. The same U.S. government that wants us to bring tens of thousands of Syrian refugees here to dwell among us and who promises that all of them will be vetted by Homeland Security failed to properly vet this woman with a Pakistani passport that listed a false address. They allowed her to enter the country. Can Syrian refugees, with absolutely no records of their prior life, be vetted by Homeland Security? When we see that they could not even vet Tashin Malik, who did have records of her past in Pakistan, and who had listed an address that did not exist in order to get into America. This government could not check her address? What then exactly do they check? Evidence now points to the radicalization of Syed Farouk at the hands of the Pakistani woman that he married. She had pledged obedience to ISIS, and Farouk, who had lived in California peacefully, proved to be a weak-minded man, who this woman, terrorist, was able to bend to her will. All of this as Barack Obama was chiding Republicans about being afraid of women and children. This woman, Tashin Malik, was firing shots out the back window of their rented car as her husband tried to get away from police. Barack Obama is either desperately detached from reality or a man who will cover for Islamic extremists until the day he dies. On TV last night, Obama did another of his dog and pony shows where he seeks to blame terrorism and crime on not enough gun laws. He lies through his teeth, backed by Hillary Clinton and Democrat liberals, when he says that more gun laws are the answer to terrorism. Terrorists don't follow gun laws. What these two Islamic terrorists did in San Bernardino violated a list of strict gun laws as long as your arm. They fired their weapons in a gun-free zone. Now, if it's a gun-free zone, you can't get any clearer than that with your laws. This insanity of excusing crimes by proposing more gun laws is just that, liberal insanity. How can I explain it any plainer? The strict California gun laws were ignored by these Islamic extremists, and they are ignored by criminals across the country. We will see more of these women who are trained in terrorism coming to this country with bomb-making ability and who are sent here to radicalize other Muslims. Should we be afraid of the Middle East and women? We'd better be afraid of them. And the fact that Obama tells us not to be afraid of them points to his weakness as a leader. ISIS is training children as young as 5 to kill and die in the name of Allah. Should we be afraid of Middle East children? You bet we should, as well as children born in America to followers of Islam and who can be easily radicalized. This we should know. Muslims who travel to the Middle East and return to America should be profiled. Yes, profiled, as a possibly radicalized jihadist. We don't kill them or torture them, but we do need to vet them and keep them on a watch list. If you have a rabid dog in your neighborhood, should you profile dogs? Of course you should. That's only common sense, unless you're a liberal or an Islamic jihadist. Some countries around the world have wised up. They're shutting down mosques that allow hate speech and radicalization. America must follow suit. Radical Islam is spreading right here in our country. Following the lead of the militant black student groups who use their time not to study and learn but to demonstrate and preach, at a college in Iowa, Muslim students are demanding that they be given a safe space in which to spread Islam. Did the victims of radical Islam have a safe space in San Bernardino last Wednesday? Now, this will spread to other campuses across America, endorsed by useful idiot liberals. It has been established that the ranks of radical groups like Black Lives Matter are filled with paid professionals. They are paid by various liberal communist socialists whose purpose is to destroy America from within. The liberal mainstream media has no desire to publicize that fact, and most Americans are unaware of how deep it runs. How do we prevent attacks like the one in San Bernardino when we have a president, Barack Obama, who will not even acknowledge that the attackers are Islamic extremists? That is the enemy, Islamic extremists, and they are the greatest threat to our world by far. Climate change may or may not deserve to be high on the list of threats against us, but it certainly is not the number one threat that Obama and Hillary Clinton proclaim it to be. Obama said before his first election that if the political winds shifted, he would stand with Islam, not the United States. In his 7 years in office, he has consistently defended Islam and cannot bring himself to even admit that there are radical extremists. That's dangerous. Obama ties our hands against the Islamic jihadist threat. He says that being stricter on immigration and terrorism is not who we are. Well, the world has changed, and we have to change with it. We have to make it clear that we are at war with Islamic terrorism and that we intend to take whatever steps are necessary to kill every last terrorist on earth. Obama is simply not going to do that. And so Congress has to become more involved, and the American people have to stop blindly following political parties and hold those party members responsible for their irresponsibility. When a radical Muslim commits crimes against us in the name of Allah, they should be killed. And the families of these terrorists should be deported. Moms and dads, grandparents, children, aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, everyone connected to the terrorist. Harsh? What part of the destruction of America, beheadings, and crucifixion of Christian children do you not find harsh? If these family members were totally unaware that their kin were radicalized and primed to commit jihad, they are either fools or guilty by their actions or non-actions of abetting the jihadists in their family. Obama admonishes us to see and report anything that appears to be abnormal conduct. But when someone reports such a thing, liberal America demands that they be punished. Attorney General Loretta Lynch has announced that she will prosecute any who speak ill of Islam. Well, Ms. Lynch, prepare the papers, because I will continue to speak out against Islamic extremists, and I will not ignore the obvious, as Barack Obama has done. Family members of Syed Farouk and Tashin Malik now say that they did not notice the odd happenings at their home. Many packages arriving suddenly, lights on in the garage late every night, the attempted radicalization of others by these two Islamic extremists. The neighbors and co-workers were afraid to speak up because they feared being labeled Islamophobes or racists. That is unhealthy. That should not be who we are. Now, before I leave this subject, let me urge you to offer prayers for the victims and friends and families of the San Bernardino shootings and speak up for the brave men and women of our police forces, 300 of whom rushed quickly toward the danger in California, and who stopped the two Islamic jihadists before they could carry out another massacre, which they obviously planned to do. Too often these days, the police come under fierce fire because their ranks are not perfect, because a rare, unlawful action is taken by a bad apple in the force. Think what would have happened if these brave law enforcement officers had not been there to stop the carnage in California last week. Think what would happen if the police were not in Chicago, New York, New Orleans, Detroit, and other cities experiencing more and more violence. We should be marching in the streets thanking these keepers of the peace rather than seizing upon any rare, improper actions by a rogue cop to demean the entire force. We're admonished not to blame all Muslims for the actions of a few, not to blame all black people for the actions of a minority of black people. But anarchists and paid protesters like Black Lives Matter do attack all law enforcement officers for the rare actions of a few. We keep marching along divided racial lines while our enemies plot to destroy us. Not just destroy whites, not just Christians or Jews, but all of us, including the liberals, whose rose-colored glasses blind them to reality. And we turn now to the panicked attempts to destroy Donald Trump by establishment Republicans, the strident Democrats, and liberals of all races, creeds, and colors. These people don't understand why Trump's numbers keep rising in the polls. But they should recognize that Americans are angry and frustrated from decades of malfeasance from politicians of all stripes. In the past, we, the frustrated, did not understand what we could do to rid ourselves of the professional political parasites in Washington. Donald Trump represents the opportunity to ease that anger and return America to its hard-fought freedoms and values. Like him or not, Trump isn't spending hundreds of millions of dollars of other people's money in his campaign. He would not owe anything to the lobbyist corps who have had their greatest dreams recognized through the help of people they have financially powered into office. Now that petrifies those who have held power for so long and who face the real possibility of somebody shutting off their flow of money, power, and influence. I'm not ready to endorse Donald Trump as of now, but I am also not among those who fear his election. While each Republican candidate brings something to the table, more so than a confused Barack Obama or a lying, unethical Hillary Clinton, not to mention a confirmed socialist in Bernie Sanders whose promises to make almost everything free would bankrupt us, and he knows it. At the moment, I lean toward Cruz and Rubio. But while I have concerns about Trump's lack of tact and his short-fused temper against anyone who speaks ill of him, I still think that Trump could form a powerful government of experts in various fields, as he has repeatedly done in the business world. I'm also confident that Trump really believes in America and that he would move decisively to destroy the Muslim caliphate and radical Islamic followers here in America plotting to destroy us. I believe that Trump, Cruz, or Rubio would strengthen our military, a force that's been decimated by Obama. I do know this, that Trump in particular would speak his mind, unlike Barack Obama, whose past has been hidden from our view and whose actions as president reflect the most corrupt, racist defender of jihadists in the history of our republic. Carl?
Yes, indeed, and thank you for your commentary today, Tom. And Tom, it's just always a pleasure to have you on the airwaves of WTSB. I wish we could play a lot of music, but the times are so critical that information is just vital that people wake up and understand. And I know you're doing everything you possibly can to bring people to an awakening that our government is being threatened, that we're losing our right to free speech and freedom of worship, and only people like you and several other people that come to the airwaves of WTSB are doing everything they possibly can to save this great nation. And I know that that is one of your prime objectives, is to save this nation.
Indeed it is, Carl, and it becomes so frustrating sometimes, but we've got to keep moving forward. It is just a sad thing that we cannot focus on the things that are really important in life. And if you value straight talk from somebody who's sworn to value his country over any political party or individual, somebody who refuses to take one penny of profit from these commentaries or its listeners, please let WTSB know. And email me from wherever in the world. That email address is tjoiner1942@gmail.com. tjoiner, spelled with a Y, 1942@gmail.com. And I hope you'll stay tuned.
Well, I certainly hope so, too. And if anything happens that we need some help on, we'll have you on there just any time, any day. So stand by, and you'll hear the great Tom Joyner on the golden airwaves of WTSB. And say hello to Ann.
I will do so, Carl. And as we approach the Christmas season, we should all be willing to celebrate this country and all it's given us, and we should be willing to protect it at all costs. God bless America.